You're listening to a podcast from 702.
The Worldview with Adam Gilchrist is brought to you by Emirates. Fly Emirates. Hello tomorrow.
And to London we go. Good morning to you, Adam. A happy Monday to you. But I suppose not such a happy one if you're in Indonesia or France. Outrage in the aftermath of attacks there.
Morning, Bongani. Yes, these attacks linked, although thousands of miles apart, linked by the fact that one has been claimed by Islamic State as their work and the other is thought to be Islamic State inspired, as it were. In Indonesia, we know suicide bombers attacked three churches in the city of Surabaya. And we also know that it was all the same family who'd returned from the war in Syria. So a mother and two daughters blew themselves up in one church and a father and two sons targeted two other churches. 13 people were killed and dozens of people were injured. But also in the follow-up, two suicide bombers on a motorbike have targeted a police headquarters in Surabaya this morning. While in Paris, we know it was a 29-year-old man of Chechen origin. He suddenly began slashing at people on Saturday night, killed one person, injured four others, and ultimately was shot dead by French police. The knife man, we're told, was on a terrorist watch list. That does seem to happen. The trouble with being on a watch list is it's all very well if people are sort of vaguely keeping tabs on you, but it's the vague bit, and suddenly they can cause these terrible tragedies. Maybe, again, the French intelligence services will have to have a look at themselves, because they've certainly been, shall we say, in focus before.
Let's talk about the freed hostages, two British captives, relieved, really, after being freed in the DRC.
They've certainly talked about their relief. They've also talked about their shock that a park ranger was killed in trying to protect them, this poor woman, Rachel Baraka. This all happened at the Virunga National Park in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The two Brits appear to be tourists. I haven't seen anything to say that they were there as specialists, but they were visiting a gorilla sanctuary and were kidnapped. And it's interesting, at one stage it was thought that the army could go in, the Congo army, but also the SAS were on standby. We had all sorts of headlines in the UK about how special forces units were going to fly out to Congo into the jungle, rescue, blah, blah, blah. Well, something happened, and I think it was probably the Congolese authorities actually acting a bit more, and they got these three people released because the driver had also been taken. And these two Brits, Bethan Davis and Robert Jesty, have certainly talked about how very relieved they are to have found freedom. But do you know what? There are some pretty horrible stories coming out of that neck of the woods, aren't there?
Okay, and of course, let's do the last story. 61 times the UK has participated in the Eurovision Song Contest. How many times have you won it?
Is it three or four? And not for 20 years. But it's a bit like the World Cup. We turn up, we get a little bit excited every year, going, yeah, but there again, we're not that good. But maybe people will like us, or maybe we'll win. No, not a chance. Even with the stage being stormed, for goodness sake, and Suri womanfully going on and powering on through it, and she did rather well, actually, because it's not easy when you've got a protester in your face grabbing your microphone. But even there, we still managed to come 24th out of 26. But you know what, Bongani? You have to celebrate Eurovision, because it is just as camp as a row of pink tents. 3.5 hours long. Where else in the world do you get yodeling, scatting, Vikings in makeup, gypsy disco, Dutch country, bearded brooding Bulgars, the world's biggest dress, and what sounded like a new version of Shut Up Your Face, all on the same stage?
It's all too fabulous, Adam. We'll leave it there. Adam Gilchrist with, of course, our Worldview from London. Now, every day on the Worldview, we ask you to send us a question on any world topic you want to know more about. And today's question comes from, at least via Twitter, from at Mulondok _blues, who tweeted, "What is the capacity of the ocean and how was that measurement done? # Emirates Worldview." To get to the answer, we spoke to Dr. Gavin Snow, a senior lecturer at Wits University.
With climate change, melting ice caps and rising sea levels being such hot topics, it is really important for scientists to know how much water is in the world's oceans. This is simply calculated by multiplying the area of the Earth that is covered by oceans by their average depth. The first estimate was by Scottish scientist John Murray in 1888, by dangling lead weights from ropes off the sides of ships. He calculated the volume of the oceans to be 1,349 million cubic kilometers of water. Since then, we've invented echo sounders and satellites that have improved the accuracy of the area and average depths of the oceans, so that in 2010, scientists at Woods Hole Institute in the United States recalculated the volume to be 1,332 million cubic kilometers. This means that after 130 years of scientific development, we have only improved the accuracy by 1%. So a really big thumbs up to those early scientists.
All right, so congratulations to Mullondoc underscore blues. That was, of course, your answer from Dr. Gavin Snow, who is from the School of Animal, Plant and Environmental Sciences at Wits University. You've won R1,000, courtesy of Emirates. Fly Emirates, hello tomorrow.
If you have a question on an interesting topic for Emirates Worldview, send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072-702-1702 or hashtag Emirates Worldview on Twitter. There's more Emirates Worldview on 702.co.za.
Alex, glad I caught you. Listen, I have big news. You got the promotion.
Sarah, I don't know what to say.
Don't say anything. You deserve it. It does involve a lot of traveling, but don't worry. The office is incredible. Fully reclining seat, Wi-Fi, built-in bar.
That's amazing. Where is it?
On board Emirates Business Class, the best office in the sky.
With flatbed seats and a host of features, Emirates Business Class is so much more than just business. Fly Emirates. Experience a new level of comfort.